Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now where we turn our attention to China. So China over the years have never failed to surprise us. And just over the weekend, their negotiators surprised their European Union counterparts with key market access consensus that could allow the two parties to reach some kind of an agreement on a historic investment deal by the end of the year. And how will this deal be an advantage to China? Also, you've got countries like the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain have approved the Chinese vaccine for COVID-19. Experts at the same time are unsure of the effectiveness of this vaccine. Are the worries justifiable? What should we look into it? And since early November, Chinese billionaire Jack Ma has been trying his best to salvage his relationship with Beijing. You'll remember he angered Beijing by lashing out in a speech in October at President Xi Jinping's signature campaign to control financial risks, saying it's stifled innovation. Can he succeed in rebuilding that relationship? To help me out with these questions is Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, how have you been, sir?
Well, good morning. It's pre-Christmas, not quite a shopping season, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I certainly hope your Christmas prep is going peacefully, at least, you know, since there are no crowds, or there shouldn't be too large crowds this year.
Very peaceful indeed, with very little crowd.
Yeah, very little visiting, just stick to online shopping, that'll work. Dr. O, let's get into it, okay? So, Chinese negotiators this week surprised their European counterparts with key market access concessions that could allow the two parties to reach an agreement on this historic investment deal by the end of the year. Of course, the EU hasn't quite revealed the details yet, but I'm curious, you know, how is China's Xi Jinping looking to gain this advantage? And is it fair to say he's looking to gain an advantage over Joe Biden with this groundbreaking EU investment deal? How will it be of an advantage to both China and the EU? Your thoughts?
Well, there's still some sort of a trade war going on between China and the United States. And even if Joe Biden were to take over the U.S. presidency, this trade war, I think, would continue for a while, albeit with, shall we say, a lesser extent. But it will still be going on. So I think from the China's perspective, they are eager to, for example, look for the alternative in terms of trade and so on. So the European Union would become a very attractive market. So a little bit more of a concession would be granted to the European Union. The EU, of course, with Brexit and with the slowing world economy and so on, would also be, of course, very eager to conclude such a free trade agreement with China. So it's like two willing parties coming together to try to cobble this together. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very typical of Asian sort of culture or Chinese culture where you plan just in case, plan ahead of time. And it's very typical of this part of the world. Speaking of planning ahead of time, China has promised COVID-19 vaccines to parts of the world struggling to access Western jabs. However, international experts worry that the opacity of the process and the allegations of shortcuts taken by China risks undermining global immunization efforts. You know, case in point being the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain approving, you know, the Chinese vaccine. People are, or experts are worried about it. Is this worry justifiable? I mean, what did China do to contribute to this worry? What did they do to make people scared of their vaccine? And how could they mitigate this issue, Dr. Oh?
Well, there have been quite a number of well-publicized, and these are publicized by China themselves, cases of, for example, the, shall we say, very relaxed regulations of foodstuffs as well as medicines and drugs and so on throughout the last, shall we say, almost two decades of China's history. Mm-hmm. So, of course, people then are a bit worried as to, number one, the efficacy, and number two, some of the potential side effects of these vaccines to be manufactured by China. On the other hand, of course, you would see that people around the world who are still in the midst of this pandemic will be very eager to rush forward to grab whatever vaccine that they could have. Hopefully, it will somehow work to lessen the effect of the pandemic and so on. And this is especially pronounced in the developing countries. So I think from China's perspective, I learned that they are, of course, rolling out some of these trials in some of the developing countries. Hopefully, because they are doing so outside of China, and if the process is transparent and so on, hopefully that would rebuild some of the confidence for people to take the China vaccine.
Yeah. Certainly. I don't know about you, Dr. Oh, but this year I've really enjoyed all the online sales. So, you know, in November 11, right, 11-11, it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's e-commerce overdrive in that sense. but if I take you back to last year, purchases on 11-11 meant 675 million packages had to be delivered. That was a 26% increase from the year before. So I want to touch on this online shopping addiction and focus specifically on China. I mean, what is that doing? Is it killing this green packaging drive? Is China looking to intervene, you know, to ensure that this green packaging drive goes as planned and, you know, not contribute to more waste around the world?
Well, by its own very definition, green packaging drive would imply, number one, some sort of more sustainable packaging practice. Mm. And number two, this packaging practice would survive only in an environment where there are indeed people buying a lot of things, for example, online, such that this sort of green packaging is somewhat justified. I have seen over the years, you know, China's packaging practices sort of evolve from almost exclusively plastic packaging to now more, shall we say, recyclable or
biodegradable, right?
Biodegradable over the years and so on. So, number one, it's of course regrettable that we still have to do tons of packaging. Yeah. But number two, you would see this sort of progression towards more biodegradable packaging. Ironically, when there's more purchasing, because then the R&D effort would be more justified.
I see where you're going with this. Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Actually, speaking of 11-11, let's talk about Jack Ma. He's got a frosty relationship with Beijing now, and that since early November, he offered to hand over parts of his financial technology plant and group to the Chinese government, according to sources. Now, can this offer sort of ease Chinese regulators and hopefully get Ant Group back into the good books of Chinese regulators? I mean, is he doing enough? What else can he do to salvage the relationship that's been sort of hurt by his comments?
Well, I think the China regulators have been very cautious in terms of approving the various sort of new fintech practices rolled out by Alibaba, by Ant, and so on. And that's because over recent history, China has been experiencing a number of these, so we say, deposit-taking practices, which have caused a lot of people to lose money and so on. From what I heard, Jack Ma is essentially offering the Chinese government whereby they could essentially take over whichever part of Alibaba or Ant Finance, which they felt is either problematic or which they would like to scrutinize more. I think that is an olive branch extended by Jack Ma. And I think in very coming days, you will see the Chinese authorities responding in kind. Namely, for example, it's just like the U.S. antitrust practice, right? To, for example, break up some of its conglomerates, such that they become more regulable entities. They are not too enormous to be able to be susceptible to regulations here.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, appreciate your time and I wish you a Merry Christmas in advance, yeah?
Thank you very much indeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.